What was the longest time that you've been away from home? Well, Christ was away from home for more than 30 years. And the time arrived for him to ascend to his home, to his Father's throne. Can you imagine the excitement? As a divine conqueror, he was about to return with the trophies of victory to the heavenly courts. He's going to bring a present to heaven, new creatures to be there. Before his death, he had told his Father on the cross, "I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Telestai, finished it, paid the full price." After his resurrection, he tarried on earth for a season that his disciples might become familiar with him in his risen and glorified body, because they were going to get the same kind of body when Jesus comes a second time. He wants them to familiarize themselves with what they were going to get. For the place of his ascension, we all have favorite places, Jesus chose the spot so often hallowed by his presence while he dwelt among men. Do you have special spots? I've got them. And when you visit these spots, the memories start coming back. Memory lane, pleasant sights. But it was not Mount Zion, the place of David's city, nor Mount Moriah, the temple site, was thus to be honored. Famous places, but he wasn't treated too well at these places. Here Christ had been mocked and rejected. So this was not going to be the place where he ascends to his Father's throne. There the waves, these places of mercy, still returning in stronger tide of love, had been beaten back by hearts as hard as rocks. He didn't choose these places to ascend. Jesus, weary and heart burdened, had gone forth to find rest in the Mount of Olives. This was his favorite place. And he departed from this planet from his favorite place. Now this is important. The Shekinah, the Holy Shekinah, the Shekinah was between the two cherubim on top of the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat. The Holy Shekinah, in departing from the first temple before Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the city in 582, had stood upon the eastern mountain. So the Shekinah glory left the Jewish people and rested on the eastern mountain, as if loath to forsake the chosen city. Can you see this? And then the temple was destroyed. So Christ stood upon Olivet with yearning heart, overlooking Jerusalem. Remember the time when he wept and said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem." So he is departing as the Shekinah glory departed. The groves and glens of the mountain had been consecrated by his prayers and tears. Here he spent nights agonizing with his Father for you and me. Its steeps had echoed the triumphant shouts of the multitude that proclaimed him king. Remember the time when he came down on a donkey and they shouted and called him their king. Palm branches and clothes on the road. So Mount Olivet had special emotions attached to it concerning Christ. On its sloping descent, he had found a home with Lazarus of Bethany, the only place the Bible tells us where he felt at home, part of Mount of Olives. In the Garden of Gethsemane, at its foot had prayed and agonized alone. This is where he gained the victory. This is where he sweat blood. From this mountain he was to ascend to heaven. Upon its summit at the end of the 1,000 years, says Zechariah chapter 3, his feet will rest. So from where he went up, he'll come a second time, but he won't touch the earth. But the third time, after the millennium, he will touch down on Mount of Olives. Not as a man of sorrows, but as a glorious, triumphant king, he will stand upon Olivet, while Hebrew hallelujahs mingle with Gentile hosannas, and the voices of the redeemed as a mighty host shall swell the acclamation, crown him Lord of all. So on this Mount of Olives, the entire human race, the lost and the saved, will shout, crown him Lord of all. And when Jesus left, he thought of what was going to happen on this mountain again. Now with the 11 disciples made his way toward the mountain. Can you see them walking to the Mount of Olives? As they passed through the gate, I believe this gate, St. Stephen's, Eastern Sheep's Gate, many wondering eyes looked upon the little company. They were led by one whom a few weeks before the rulers had condemned and crucified. There is the man that was crucified. With awe, they looked at this little company. The disciples knew not that this was to be their last interview with their master. And you know, we don't know when our last interview with someone would take place. Jesus spent the time in conversation with them. He talked with them by repeating the former instruction, because he's leaving them now and they've got to carry on with the work. As they approached Gethsemane, he paused that they might call to mind the lessons he had given them on the night of his greatest agony. Peter, John, remember what happened here? You slept and I was agonizing. Can you recall the events of Gethsemane? Again, he looked upon the vine by which he had represented the union of his church with himself and his Father and with the disciples. Stop there. Remember what I taught you here? So he impressed them with the marvelous truths that he taught them. Again, he repeated the truths he had unfolded to them. You know, sometimes repetition is a good thing. Tell your loved ones you appreciate them. Repeat it. This is what Christ did. Christ had sojourned the world for 33 years. He had endured its scorn, insult, and mockery. He had been rejected and crucified. Now, when about to ascend to his throne of glory, as he reviews the ingratitude of the people he came to save, will he not withdraw from them his sympathy and love? You know, we do it, but would he do it? We are at times behaving in this negative manner, but not Christ. Will not his affections be centered upon that realm where he is appreciated and where sinless angels await to do his bidding? We serve a wonderful Savior. No, his promise to those loved ones whom he leaves on earth is, listen to this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Let's visit the traditional site from where Jesus ascended to heaven. I don't think this is the site, but let's visit it. There it is. It's on the summit of the Mount of Olives. And there you can read the caption, Mount of Olives, Chapel of the Ascension, in different languages. So let's walk into this little chapel. There's a dove. There's not much to see in here. Not so much to see, but much to think about. And according to the tradition, this is the exact site, they say, from where he ascended to heaven. Could be, but no matter, don't worry. He ascended from the Mount of Olives. Upon reaching the Mount of Olives, Jesus led the way across the summit to the vicinity of Bethany. Bethany was part of the Mount of Olives. Why close to Bethany? Here he paused and his disciples gathered about him. Only the few of them. This is just a sketch, the black markings. Starting at the temple, you can see a map of the way they walked. Can you sense the atmosphere? He's going home. You know, when I go home, I'm so happy. And I think he couldn't wait. But his feelings were always subjected to the needs of people. And maybe we should learn a lesson here. This is a painting of the disciples and Jesus, which was painted in 1892. And the artist is trying to give us the atmosphere of this last meeting. Now, the most expensive tomb you can buy in Israel is on the Mount of Olives. And you can see it, stones on the tombs. So every time you visit the tomb, you put your stone there. It's cheaper than flowers. Some tombs have got nothing. Some, many of them. From where did he ascend? Beams of light seemed to radiate from his countenance as he looked lovingly upon them. He glanced a glance of love at every one of them. The last glance of love. I don't think they ever forgot that glance. Tombs of the Mount of Olives echo the manner of his parting words. He did not remind them of their faults and failures. When you say goodbye, follow the example of Jesus. Don't remind people of the past. It's counterproductive. Words of deepest tenderness were the last that fell upon their ears from the lips of their Lord. They will always remember words of deepest tenderness. And this is what we should do if we say goodbye. Words of tenderness and a lovely embrace. With hands outstretched in blessing and as if in assurance of his protecting care, he slowly ascended from among them. Can you see it? Drawn heavenward by a power stronger than the earthly attraction. Can you see him ascending to heaven after he embraced the 11 disciples? I think there were tears. The awe-stricken disciples looked with straining eyes for the last glimpse of their ascending Lord. When I visit my only child and say goodbye, she waves at me, and I wave at her. Till I take the last corner, eyes filled with tears on both sides. Bye. I think this happened on the Mount of Olives when they said goodbye. A cloud of glory hid him from their sight. They didn't see it. And the words came back to them as the cloudy chariot of angels received him. What words came back to them? Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And the words are echoing back to us. My dear friend, my dear child, I will be with you till the end of time, always. Of what two previous occasions did the angelic choir sing? Can you remember? At Bethlehem, beautiful music. And then when Christ was raised from the tomb, there was another choir. Do you think there could be another choir singing at his ascension? Can we expect them to sing again? Oh, there is singing up in heaven such as we have never known. It's a beautiful song. But angels cannot feel the joy of our salvation. Are we going to hear another song on the Mount of Olives? One was at Bethlehem, one was at the tomb. Are we going to hear another song here? Yes. The melody, the lyrics, I don't know. I want to tune into to History Channel one day and listen to it. Will there be a History Channel in heaven? I think so. During the 1,000 years, we can tune into it. If these ladies were here at the ascension of Jesus, they would hear, floating down to them, the sweetest and most joyous music from the angel choir. Was this the only music they heard on that day? What do you see in this picture? Just an artist's impression. But can you see the two angels down there among the disciples? While the disciples were still gazing upward, voices addressed them, which sounded like richest music. You know, angels, when they speak like music. Their words are like music. And maybe we should put some music in our voice when we speak to people, and not hatred and condemnation. They turned and saw two angels in the form of men who spoke to them, saying, Acts 1, verse 11. Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? I like the way angels speak to people. This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. It will not be a secret rapture. The greatest orchestra of billions of angels will blow their trumpets, and the entire cosmos will be shining with the glory of God the Father, God the Son, and the billions of angels coming down. Physically, they saw it, they heard him go up, they see it. It was physical, it was real. Now, who were these two angels? One day I want to have a sermon on the work of Gabriel. He was involved with Daniel. He took the place of Lucifer. They were of the company that had been waiting in a shining cloud to escort Jesus to his heavenly home. At least at Netvier. These two angels were of the company that had been waiting in a shining cloud to escort Jesus to his heavenly home. I don't know how many angels came down to accompany Jesus to heaven, but two of them stayed behind. They went back. How were they related to Jesus, and what position did they occupy in heaven? They were the most exalted of the angel throng. They were the two who had come to the tomb at Christ's resurrection. That mighty angel, when he came, the earth shook. What else do we need to know about them? They had been with him, with Christ, throughout his life on earth. Two angels taking care of them. Do you know that you have two guardian angels? Comforting thought. With eager desire, all heaven had waited for the end of his stay in a world marred by the curse of sin. The time had now come for the heavenly universe to receive their king. Please tell me, where would be the happiest place for these two angels at this time, with that happy, excited crowd? Did they not long to join the throng that welcomed Jesus? Of course they did. This was the greatest event ever recorded in universal divine history, the ascension of Christ. But in sympathy and love for those whom Christ had left behind, they stayed behind to comfort them. I think they were very, very sad to lose Christ. And angels came to comfort them. Are angels involved in our lives? Hebrews 1 verse 14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Right now, there are two angels, good angels, in your vicinity. There's also one evil angel. A third of them came from heaven. So, they've protected you through life. They've comforted you, without you even knowing it. Christ had ascended to heaven in the form of humanity. The disciples saw the cloud that received him. The same Jesus who had walked and talked and prayed with them, who had broken bread with them, who had been with them in their boats on the lake, Galilee, and who had that very day toiled with them up the ascent of the Mount of Olives. The same Jesus now gone to share his Father's throne. And the angels had assured them that the very one whom they had seen go up into heaven would come again, even as he ascended. What good news! He's coming again. My friend, he's coming again to take us home. He will come with clouds, and every eye shall see him. No secret rapture. Every eye will see him. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The entire cosmos will hear the shout. With the voice of the archangel. That's Michael. And with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise. What a moment. We may die, but we will be raised when he comes to live forever with him. The Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. He's coming soon, my friend. We have to be prepared to meet him in peace. So if there's something in your life, please get rid of it. Thus will be fulfilled the Lord's own promise to his disciples. If I go and prepare a place for you, that's very personal, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, that's heaven, no death up there, there ye may be also. I've got a better place for you. I'm coming to fetch you. The disciples had all the reason to rejoice in the hope of the Lord's return. This is a blessed hope. Please cherish this when things go wrong. It's going to be different soon. When the disciples went back to Jerusalem, the people looked upon them with amazement. Where's their Lord? After the trial and crucifixion of Christ, it had been thought that they would appear downcast and ashamed, depressed. No. The enemies expected to see upon their faces the expression of sorrow and defeat. Instead of this, they only saw gladness and triumph. You know, Jesus did a good job. This is the product. Their faces were aglow with a happiness, not born of earth, but happiness born of heaven. With rejoicing, they told the wonderful story of Christ's resurrection and his ascension to heaven. They had a story to tell. We have a story to tell. Results of their first sermon on the ascension of Jesus, their testimony was received by many. You know, we shouldn't talk in a lifeless manner. The gospel should make us excited and happy. They extended the hand of faith higher and higher and higher with a mighty argument. It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Romans 8:34. A few days later, Pentecost brought them fullness of joy in the presence of the Comforter, as Christ had promised. All heaven was waiting to welcome the Savior to the celestial courts. You know, when my daughter visits us, she says, I'm at this town. I've just arrived at this place. And man, the excitement inside of me, my child is coming home. And can you imagine heaven waiting for the champion to arrive? As he ascended, he led the way. It was right in front of this huge procession. And the multitude of captives set free at his resurrection followed. What a procession. What they experienced, we are going to experience one of these days. Up, without a space suit. They follow Jesus up, up, up through the Milky Way to somewhere in the cosmos, to the New Jerusalem. The heavenly host, with shouts of acclamation of praise and celestial song, attended the joyous train, this great procession, as they drew near to the city of God. The challenge is given to the escorting angels. Psalms 24:7. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Hey there! Make preparations, we're coming. Joyfully the waiting sentinels respond. Who is this King of glory? And they ask the question not because they know not who he is, but because they would hear the answer of the exalted praise. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. He conquered the devil and sin. Lift up your heads, please. Make preparations. O you gates, lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Can you hear these two angelic choirs singing? The most beautiful music, the melody, the lyrics. Again is heard the challenge. Who is this King of glory? For the angels never weary of hearing his name exalted. The escorting angels make reply. The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Can you hear the two choirs singing? Then the portals of the city of God opened wide. And the angelic throng sweep through the gates, amid a burst of rapturous music. We have to tune into the History Channel. I think they sang as they never sang before. Here is Christ. He's home. He's safe. He conquered sin and death. There is the throne, and around it the rainbow of promise. There are cherubim and seraphim. The commanders of the angel hosts, the sons of God, the representatives of unfallen worlds are assembled. Here you've got all the celebrities. Let your brain capture this majestic scene. Millions upon millions of heavenly celebrities are present to welcome Jesus. I want to see this. I want to see this. I want to experience this. Now I can only imagine. One day, I will tune into the History Channel, the Salvation Channel, the heavenly council before which Lucifer had accused God and his son, the representatives of those sinless realms over which Satan had thought to establish his dominion, all are there to welcome the Redeemer, the champion. I wonder if they could cry in heaven, weep. Weep for joy. I'm not sure. But can you imagine them welcoming Christ back, safe, with ever with him? And then awaiting to see you and me coming a little later. They are eager to celebrate his triumph and to glorify their king. But he waves them back. Hey, wait a while. Not yet, not yet. He cannot now receive the coronet of glory and the royal robe. He now enters into the presence of his Father. Can you imagine the scene? Shh, not now, not now. And then, in the presence of his Father, he points to his wounded head, and we'll see it one of these days. The thorns that marred his head, his pierced side, he shows it. His marred feet, he points to his feet. Can you see those beautiful feet, scarred by nail prints? He lifts his sacred hands, caused by the cruel nails, while the Father looks at this. He points to the tokens of his triumph. Who are the tokens of his triumph? Oh, this brought joy to his heart and the heart of the Father. He presents to God the wave sheaf. Who are they? Those raised with him as representatives of that great multitude who shall come forth from the grave at his second coming. My friend, that's you and me. The first fruits are there. The great harvest, you and me, will soon be there. Don't miss out on this tremendous event. He approaches the Father with whom there is joy over one sinner that repents, who rejoices over one with singing. If you haven't repented yet, when you do, God the Father sings a song of joy because of your decision. Please, let him sing. If you're not saved, get saved and get the Father to sing. Can you appreciate the Father's joy over one sinner that repents? Remember, he gave his only begotten Son, monogenes, unique, in death to save you and me. You will not be lost because you sin, but because you reject his grace. Before the foundations of the earth were laid, the Father and the Son had united in a covenant to redeem man if he should be overcome by Satan. When they sat at that drawing board, designing us, they knew with our free choice we could go wrong. They decided if this would happen, they'd pay the price to get us to heaven. They'd clasp their hands in solemn pledge that Christ should become the surety of the human race. We'll have to spend some time with the Father who gave. The pledge Christ has fulfilled. When and where? At Calvary. He addressed the Father when upon the cross he cried out, "Telestai, it is finished. I've done the job. I've saved you people." The compact had been fully carried out. Now he declares, "Father, it is finished. I've done your will. Oh my God, I've completed the work of redemption. If your justice is satisfied." And the VIPs listened to the speech. "I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am." May they come with me. The voice of God is heard proclaiming that justice is satisfied. At last, Satan is vanquished. Christ's toiling, struggling ones on earth are at last accepted in the beloved, Ephesians 1 verse 6. He did a great job to save us. Before the heavenly angels, the representatives of unfallen worlds, they are declared justified. We are declared justified. Do you know what this means? It is as if though we had never sinned. Where he is, there his church shall be. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Law and grace kissed each other at the cross of Calvary. The Father's arms encircle his Son. Can you see it? And the word is given, "Let all the angels of God worship him," Hebrews 1 verse 6, "with joy unutterable. Rulers and principalities and powers acknowledge the supremacy of the Prince of Life." The angel hosts prostrate themselves before him, while the glad song of victory fills the courts of heaven. Here are the lyrics. Revelation 5:12. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive," one, "power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Seven, the perfect number. He's to receive all our adoration for all that he's done for us. Please include thanks to God in every prayer you pray. You will be singing this song one of these days. Learn the lyrics. What music? Who was the audience? Songs of triumph mingle with the music from angel harps till heaven seems to overflow with joy and praise. That music is still moving around in the cosmos. We will hear it soon. Love has conquered. The cross of Calvary is the most potent weapon. It destroyed the devil. Love has conquered. You cannot conquer with hatred. You can conquer with love. The lost is found. Heaven rings with voices in lofty strains proclaiming, Revelation 5:13, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever and ever and ever. From that scene of heavenly joy, there comes back to us on earth the echo of Christ's own wonderful words, "I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." John 20, verse 17. The family of heaven and the family of earth are one. For us, our Lord ascended, and for us, he lives. He wants us to be there. Don't miss out. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is also able. He's able. There's a little song which says, he's able, he's able, he's able. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for us. If you have an unconfessed sin, please confess it. Jesus will take that confession, and you will be forgiven. Your name will be written in the book of life, and you will sing with angels one of these days. Father in heaven, the victory has been won. The devil has been defeated. All power is invested in Jesus. Help us to accept that power to overcome those weaknesses in our hearts. In Jesus' name, Amen.